Dear Heavenly Father, I come before you and so thankful for your grace, your mercy, your love. And we also know that you are a just God. You see everything, you know all. You know what's best for us, Lord. And I pray that you guide us today as we meet together, as we assemble together, to study your word through message. And Lord, I thank you for this time of fellowship and this time of song. May this service be a blessing in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to be starting a series within a series today. We are. God had this design when he created, when he created everything, he knows all. But on the sixth day, he created man. Not long after that, he created woman too. And he created us all different. Women see things differently than guys do. I know it's, and sometimes how we get through it is just beyond me some days. But the really cool thing is God gave us instructions on how to put up with one another is a bad way to say it. But to live with each other in harmony. So we're going to continue our study in Colossians. And I originally wanted to do Colossians 3, 18 and 19. But you guys don't want to be here for 2 hours in this nice day we're having today. So today we're going to look at just verse 18. So Colossians 3, I'll read 18 and 19. And it says, "Wives, submit to your husbands as fitting to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them." Today I'm going to pick on the ladies. And then next time, men, you're going to get it. I'm going to pick on you equally. And I'm so glad there's only two genders. So as so this little small portion of scripture that we just read is actually a continuance of verse 17, which says, "And whatever you do in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." So everything we say, everything we do in the name of Jesus. That should be our mindset. And of course, we're supposed to be thankful about that too. And then that goes into family relationships, on how we're supposed to have these relationships with our spouses, with Christ on our mind. Now, a godly marriage is to represent the gospel. That's what the marriage is supposed to look like, the gospel message. Christ was submissive to the Father's will. See, Jesus did all that was planned for him to do, even though before crucifixion, what did he do? He prayed, "Take this cup from me." He didn't really want it. He wasn't looking forward to the crucifixion. I really can't blame him either. But not his will, but the Father's will. So he prayed that he would not endure the cross, but he willingly took it because he knew that this was for the benefit of God, so God's plan could be made complete. Next, we see that Christ was symbolized as the groom, and the church symbolized the bride. The church is to be submissive to Christ because, as we looked earlier in Colossians, Christ is the head of the church, head of the body, the church. The church is to submit to Christ. And he willingly died for the church. He was willingly obedient. and that is an example of how much that Christ loves the church, willingly died for the church. He sacrificed himself for her. Since Christ has done that, the church should look at him and their Lord and submit to him and his will and to be thankful. And here's the thing, that's the standards for marriage. It's not to be taken lightly, it's to be taken seriously. Now, when we look at the passage that I read in Colossians, it's a really, really short version compared to the one in Ephesians chapter 5. If you struggle with marriage, they always tell you what to do. Go to Ephesians 5. But this is a lot shorter version. And some scholars think that why Paul only said two lines in this was because they already got a copy of the letter sent to Ephesus, and they read it, so Paul just wanted to hit on it just a little bit, or there might not have been a big problem with marriage in this place. That's why he may have only mentioned it just briefly in Colossians. So we're going to kind of use both of them, Ephesians and Colossians, kind of go together. So Paul tells the wife to be submissive to her own husband. All right, men, you need to be praying for your wives. This is not something that's easy for the women to do. They need your support. Because sometimes we get a twisted view of Scripture. And they take this, and guys will take this submissive word and turn it into a form of abuse. And that was never the intention. We should never twist Scripture from the original meaning. Now, the Bible is very clear that the man is the head of the household, just as Christ is head of the church. Ephesians 5:23-24 states, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior." Now the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit everything to their husbands. 1 Corinthians 11:3 says also, "But I want you to understand that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of every wife is her husband, and the head of Christ is God." It all kind of goes together. He gives examples on how things are. So the scripture's not picking on the wife, because Christ was submissive to the Father. The husband is submissive to Christ. And the wife is submissive to her husband. See, even when we look at Genesis chapter 2, the headship of man is implied in that as well. Now we're going to look at that word submit. Now, if I would have read further on in our passage today about children and bond servants, it says, "Children, obey." And then bondservants obey. And sometimes we get those two words as meaning the same thing. The word submissive is a behavior that one chooses to do. They choose to do it. And obey means that the person needs to do something with very little choice, if any. It's kind of like when you're at work. Your boss tells you to do something. You do it. That's obey. You can question them sometimes if they're kind of out there on a limb and say, "Did you really want me to do that?" The submissiveness resembles the Christian humility. The wife is elevating her husband and respecting him and the position that the Lord has called him to. That would be true humility, elevating others. We talked about humility in the past, how we put our focus on others and off of ourselves. This is one way the wife does it for her husband. Of course, some take this word submit out of context, as I earlier discussed, and use this word to justify abusive actions. It's wrong. That is wrong. A man should never look at his wife as such to where he demands her to submit to all he says without question. That's not God's design for marriage. When we look back at creation, we see that God had Adam name the animals. He got that job. Then after that, he finished. He took a nap because all that work. Got to lay down and take a rest. God made him a what? A slave? A partner. Made a partner. A woman that was from his ribs. She was taken from his side. Why? So they could be a team. They're a team. I love that. After the curse, man was placed as head. And of course, he makes the final choice when it comes to decisions. This is not to say that the wife's input does not matter. God gave the man a partner so they can work together in unity with one another. And here's the thing. The man is responsible for the choices. He is responsible. He's going to answer to God for that, for the stuff that he does. So can the wife refuse to be submissive? Can she refuse? Yes, she can refuse. Under certain circumstances. If he does something or asks something for her to do that is against Scripture, that can be asking her to break the law or moral laws set in the Bible concerning yourself or sexual sins. The wife needs to be respectful about it, though, when she refuses to submit. However, if the husband is a follower of Jesus Christ, he should not expect his wife to be doing things that are against her, that are against Scripture, or against things that she is very uncomfortable with. Next question. Should a Christian woman submit to a non-believing husband? Well, he's not following God. Should I submit to him? And of course, Scripture's got an answer for that one too. 1 Peter 3, 1 through 2 states, "Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if they do not obey the word, they may be won without word by the conduct of their wives, when they see that you're respectful and pure in conduct." This passage gives hope to the wives. And it says, through her behavior, the husband may see Christ through that. God can use her to communicate truth through what she does, to how she relates to him. And of course, does this happen all the time? A good-willed woman trying all her hardest to serve Christ, and her husband still will not see that in her life. It's not saying that she's going to convert her husband. She may. God may use her to open up his eyes. But not all the time. And when a wife does that, when she is striving so hard to please her husband, to submit to to him. It gets frustrating. You get burned out. But don't let that get you down, though. If you keep doing it, keep at it. Why? Because you're not here to ultimately please your husband. You're ultimately here to bring glory to God. So if you're faithful to him through all things, even through marriage, and then once your work is done and you're called home to be with him, what's he going to say to you? Well done. You done good. You were faithful. You tried to have your marriage represent the gospel. When the wife is submissive to her husband, she is imitating Christ when he was submissive to the Father. Now, I found this little article by John Piper. And I'm not a big John Piper fan, but he's got some stuff. You know, you got to wade through it. He wrote some things, an article about what submission is not. First one, submission is not agreeing on everything. The wife doesn't have to agree with what her husband says with blind faith. Why? Because girls are people too. I don't know, it's hard to imagine some days. They're people too. I'm just joking. They are people. They have a mind. And the wife should never, ever be afraid of expressing her concerns with her husband. That's the whole thing about being partners. You work things together. If your husband tells you that the gospel message is not true, but you believe it to be true, then you humbly and submissively do not submit to that. The second one, submission does not mean leaving your brain at the altar. Once you get married, you don't take it out and put it on a shelf. Kind of goes back with the other one. God has given you a brain, and you need to use that. Any man who thinks that he should do all the thinking in the house has a twisted view of Scripture. Piper gives a great example. He says, the wife said he demanded that she get permission to go to the bathroom. That really happened. I looked at him and said, you're not well. You have an unbelievably distorted view of this fellow heir of grace of life. You don't understand the Bible. You're taking words like authority or leadership or submission, and then you're stepping away from the Bible and filling those words up with stuff you want to. You're not getting this from the Bible, end quote. Submission is working together and talking about the big and small choices. Of course, that affect the family, such as finances. And what's the other big choice we have to work on together? Where do you want to go eat at? Oh boy, that one. Who gets that one? So the wife has a brain. She can think, and she can actually see things in a different light. God will use her to help guide you as well. And she will give you your input. And you should consider it. Think about it. Now, hi, Shauna. We have an agreement. She makes the minor choices. I make the major ones. And guess what? I haven't had a major choice yet. Everything I ask, is this a major choice? Nope, it's minor. The next one. Submission is not putting the will of the husband before the will of Christ. The woman should never, ever place her her husband over Christ. Christ wants her to submit to her husband because it says in Colossians 3:18, as fitting to the Lord. This is part of God's design for the household. So if she has to choose between her husband or Christ, guys, we lost. Christ wins. If her husbands ask her to defile herself in any way that is unbiblical or she is uncomfortable, then she should not submit in that way that does not disrespect him as well. Following that, submission does not mean getting all her spiritual strength through her husband. Again, Piper says it best. Submission does not mean getting all of her spiritual strength through her husband. He's not giving her any spiritual strength in this text, and she's got lots of it. Her hope is in God. She's probably going to church on Sunday mornings before he gets up, getting her strength elsewhere, getting her worldview elsewhere. So the wife should never depend on her husband or rely on him for spiritual strength. That comes from God. That comes from your relationship with God and growing in him from Scripture. The final one. Submission does not mean living or acting in fear. The God-fearing woman is fearless. See, the men are called to unique leadership in the marriage. They're the leaders. The women are called to a unique kind of submission in marriage. And these roles complete each other. Piper defines marriage submission as follows. Submission is the defined calling of the wife to honor and affirm her husband's leadership and so help him to carry it through according to her gifts. As Scripture tells us in Genesis 3:16 concerning Eve, it says, "Yet your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you." This is during the curse. This is when he is talking to Eve. And some say that in this text, this is a sexual desire because it follows childbearing. But yet others think of it as so much broader. The broader view includes an emotional or economic reliance on her husband, so she is dependent upon him. So she's got this desire for her husband that is not fully understood, result of the curse as well. And she was the one that was deceived. Was Adam deceived? He disobeyed. Eve was the one who said she was deceived. And that is why in the Scripture it puts Adam as head of the household. It's another reason. God's plan for marriage is perfect when we look at it from a biblical standpoint. Today, we looked at the wife very briefly. There's books and books and books on this. And looked at her role in marriage. And God wants her to submit to her husband. Ladies, your husband is head of the household, just as Christ is head of the church. The church looks towards Christ for guidance, and the wife to her husband. The husband should guide the family in the way that Christ directs him. The husband is the leader, and his wife should be right there with him, being not somebody he walks on, but as his partner. They go through it together. Women have one job. That's to the in the scripture, and that's to submit. It's not easy. So I said, guys, you need to be praying for your wives. You need to be praying for them. Later, I will be talking to the men and the roles that they play in marriage. And they've got it a little worse. But when we talk about the marriage, we're so different. Again, we see things differently. We hear things differently. We say things differently. We tend to take things out of context. We have a hard time reading our partner. We need to be in the Word. We need to know what God's demands are for it. The church is submissive to Christ. We listen to Christ as a church. He guides us. Christ was submissive to the Father. Wives are submissive to the husband. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you. And we thank you so much for your guidance, your wisdom that you had recorded for us. So we know what it's like, so we can live with one another in harmony, live with each other in unity, and focus on what you want us to focus on, not what we should focus on. Focus off of ourselves, we should focus on you and your word and your perfect plan, because when we read your word, and we have an understanding that comes from you, it will help us with our relationship. Lord, I pray for the wives out there that are trying their best to serve you, to do the things that you want them to, so they can be a woman used by you. They can bring glory to you. And Lord, give them the wisdom and strength and understanding that we're different. Men and women are different. You designed it that way. And Lord, we look to you for that wisdom. So with those marriages that are here, and Lord, I pray for those that are struggling too, those marriages, Lord, draw near to them. Help them see your big picture. Help them see what you want. This life is temporary, and we're supposed to be living in a way that reflects the gospel message of Jesus Christ on how he took the cross, he endured the pain, he was willingly, he was obedient. And Lord, we need to be obedient in all ways of life, not just marriage, but in all ways. Lord, I thank you for what you have done. Come before you and say thank you for taking that cross. Thank you for rising from the dead so we can be saved, that you are alive. You're watching over us. I pray that you continue to guide us in your direction. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Corinthians 11:3 says, "But I want you to understand that the head of every man is Christ. The head of a wife is her husband. And the head of Christ is God."